again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tell an incredible story. 83% of our school maintained or improved their performance. We now have 19 A schools and 16 B schools, and for the first time, not a single school earned a D or an F.
This is at the Escambia County School Board meeting recently, where you had one of the members of the Florida Education Association. You've heard of the National Education Association. Well, Florida is the local chapter in this state, so she's a member of the union. This is Cindy Brown talking about the great improvements made by Escambia County schools in the last year, and obviously, from her perspective, this is the great accomplishments made by Escambia County teachers, since she's representing the union and talking to them about the importance of getting a contract that has at least a couple of better provisions for the teachers.
Our students also posted impressive academic gains. Mathematics achievements increased faster than the state average. Our middle school algebra pass rate now exceeds the state average for the first time. And our middle school acceleration rate climbed to 89%, remaining among the highest in Florida.
Which are all good things, things to brag about and be proud of. Great accomplishments in the last couple of years in Escambia County schools, as opposed to being the place that was, you know, historically has had challenges, let's just say, gently. It's gotten quite a bit better in the last couple of years. You know, however you think that's come about, whether it's because of the throughout-the-year metrics, you know, basically requiring you to test the kids along the way and see how it's going and make adjustments, or whether you think it's rules about cell phones, which I actually think is a big part of some of this. It's not the only thing, you know, or whether you think it's how the teachers are doing their job, you know, there's, or the Escambia Children's Trust. Like, there's a lot of different factors you could point to, but certainly you have to give credit to the better metrics, better accomplishments in the last year or two. And then what do they want? What does the teachers union particularly want that's not offered in the contract right now?
For months, our teachers have been asking for stronger contract language that protects something as basic as duty-free lunch.
Now, before she explains, duty-free just means that, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm not in, like, the K through 12 education system, but in my mind, when I think duty-free, you just came off a cruise. PJ, what do you think?
Without tax.
There you go, right. And we're talking about cheap gin. Is that what you want? Which, you know, I can understand a lot of teachers might want cheap gin. But no, it's not about avoiding the import duties. It's about not having assigned job responsibilities during the school day. And, you know, it's funny because I'm sure some of the teachers are like, Andrew, nobody heard it that way. They did. How do I know? Because I did. No, you're special. I know that, but that doesn't mean I'm not the only one, or that I'm the only one. So, yeah, she means having unstructured break time during the school day, particularly at a lunch period of some kind where you can, you know, eat and not be bothered by work and students, which is a pretty minimal request for a teacher, in my opinion.
They aren't asking for special treatment. They're asking for uninterrupted personal time so they can decompress, use the restroom, and eat their lunch. This will allow them to return to their students refreshed and ready to teach.
Teachers don't get potty breaks? Are you kidding? What? Okay, so, you know, one of the things I have often lamented on the air is it's difficult to get a really good grasp on what goes on in the classroom at the school unless your kid is in that. And even then, it's hard to know, right? I mean, many teachers, many principals do a good job of communicating to the parents of the people related to that school, kind of what's going on. But, like, my job as a news guy is to kind of understand the bigger picture. You know, I'm supposed to pretend to be the superintendent and the school board member and to kind of understand what's going on in the schools. And you're telling me that in Escambia County, the teachers don't get potty breaks? Or lunches where they can just sit and eat for 20 minutes? But I mean, I hate to be this guy, but what the hell? Are you kidding? I'm not normally the best friend of the unions, right? I'm not normally the guy who, hey, we need to do a public awareness campaign for the union, for the teachers union especially, because I have historically been very critical of public schools, public school funding as a homeschool parent, you know, where all of our money goes to somebody else and we don't get paid or my wife does not get paid for it. You know, a lot of criticisms of the public school system, even though I was raised by public schools, okay? You know, got my education in public schools and a very good, you know, mom too and dad. But, you know, mom was a single parent, okay? So, very critical of all of this architecture and the unions and the ideological biases in the unions and always asking more from the unions. And, you know, like, there are very few unions that ever call me and say, Andrew, we're thinking about getting people more passionate about these issues. Will you be our guy? No. The answer is no. The only exceptions is I tend to be a lot more sympathetic to, for example, the firefighters and the police unions, right? You know, because a lot more of a heart for law enforcement. But like ECAT, you know, I get along with the head of the union, but they don't call me as their guy. It's the teachers union. Is not going to call me and be like, Andrew, we want you to lead this charge. But you don't get potty breaks and a lunch? Again, let me ask the rhetorical question. What the hell? How is that even possible? Now, the other one that they're asking for, this is a no-brainer to me. This is an obvious, basic thing that employees should get. It has nothing to do with them being teachers particularly. I'm just trying to imagine a workplace where you work for 7 hours in a row and you don't get to eat lunch or take a break. Like, that's got to be an OSHA violation, right? I mean, it must not be because I don't imagine the school's in violation of the federal labor laws. But, boy, it doesn't sound great. And this was said by several other people and, you know, confirmed by when I had two teachers in here on Friday for the wrap. You know, former teachers Jewel Canada Wynn oh, good Lord, her name, Kim, who ran for office. Anyway, that we had her in here for, you know, talking to Kim Klein, had her in here talking about stuff like this. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's all right. And I'm like, what? Are you crazy? Okay, so here's the second part of what they're asking for.
They've also asked the district to address another issue that speaks to how we value our employees. Escambia County remains one of the few school districts in Florida that does not provide bereavement leave for its employees. When educators experience the loss of a loved one, they should not have to choose between grieving with their families or sacrificing accumulated leave time. A little compassion makes a big difference.
So this one I'm not as worked up about, and I'll tell you why. First of all, at heart, I'm a capitalist. I feel like you get paid to do a job. And if the job is not being done, you getting paid when you have to pay somebody else to do the job, because it's not like the class goes empty while you're on bereavement leave, right? I mean, great sympathy for the people who lose loved ones. I have as well. It sucks. But and you should take time off from work, sure. But the expectation that you're going to be paid for time where you're not doing your job, and then they have to pay somebody else to do the job you're not doing because of your leave, I always have a kind of a side-eyed view of that. Now, if you have it built into your contract that you have so much paid time off, you know, PTO for whatever, I'm fine with that, of course. I don't like the distinction between personal time, vacation time, you know, health off time, sick leave, you know, bereavement leave. I generally think that, look, give people so much time that they're not obligated to come to work, and then that's what they get. And if they exceed that for whatever, and don't make them tell you why they're using it. I don't know why healthy people shouldn't get time off when sick people do. You know, it seems like, and some people don't want to take vacations and other people do. I mean, just let them take their time if they want it, however they're going to use it. And if they don't budget well and they somebody passes away and they need to take a week off, okay, but you know, you don't get paid. You know, that's how I look at it. So this one I'm not as eager to jump on the bandwagon with, but the not having obligations when you need to go to the bathroom and you need to eat lunch, like what in the world? Michael D. O'Connor, who I believe this is the one he had taught for quite some time, maybe in New England, and then he's moved here more recently.
As far as not letting the teachers have an unencumbered lunch, I just don't understand how that could be possible.
Same.
And I've had people work for me. I would never let anybody go work the entire day without allowing them a lunch break or a bathroom break or restroom break.
Right.
It's just not possible. It just doesn't work that way. And I don't have anything more than that, but I just hope that when you contemplate it, just look back and say the children get fed, everybody else gets fed, the teachers should get the same thing that we get.
Yeah, feed the teachers and, you know, let them go to the restroom, for goodness sakes. It's crazy.
Hello, my name is Harper Cummings. I attended Escambia County Schools myself. I have 5 kids in Escambia County Schools. I came here to speak in support of the teachers' union and their demand for a fair contract. I was shocked, honestly, as well, to learn that our teachers don't have duty-free lunches. I was shocked to learn that they have to have spent up their sick leave before they can use bereavement. It's simply not good enough, and I think that everyone in this room understands that it's not good enough and that there's no reason this body should do anything other than fully support those demands.
Yeah. Now, again, on the bereavement leave, a few more details matter to me how I would structure that, but certainly the duty-free lunch and, you know, being able to take breaks during the day, you know, when necessary. That seems like a very obvious thing to me. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Have you seen the moon this morning? It's wild. It's, I don't know. It looks like you're looking across the desert in some Middle Eastern country. It's really wild this morning. Orange, dark orange, red, depending on where you're at. So if you have a chance, go out, take a look. It's beautiful and creepy and interesting and gorgeous. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I will appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
What's going on? I should know. I'm the news director.
Yeah.
Did you see any of the video or the pictures yesterday of the arrival of the very last C-2 Greyhound, the COD that carries mail and supplies and personnel out to the aircraft carriers and the fleet, landing for the sundown flight, landing at NES Pensacola, leading the Blue Angels Delta? Smoke on, going over the base yesterday, flight line, while people were waiting. I think it happened before they did their practice, and maybe it happened after that. I'm not really sure which way it worked because I was not there, but I did see some of the great photos. We got a pretty good video of it up on our Facebook page. Having the C-2 sundown after 62 years, I think, six decades, it was serving the fleet. Pretty good. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's been replaced now but is now fully replaced. It's had its last carrier arrest landing and also carrier launch off the catapult. Again, it's totally done flying. It's been replaced by the Osprey. I think we're calling it now the CMV-22. I always know it as the CV-22. But in any case, that's the tilt rotor design that takes off like a helicopter and flies like a propeller plane and then lands like a helicopter. The C-2, somebody was telling me, and I think I kind of knew this, and you can tell if you look at it. It's one of those things that you'll realize once you know it. But it has the same engines as the C-130. So, like, Fat Albert has four of these engines. And if you look at the C-2, it's the same engine. So a very, very powerful airplane, which obviously makes sense given its role. But a lot of people had a lot of attachment to that particular airframe. 825 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm only laughing because the stories are... We had two Escambia County stories that, I don't know, that, you know, they're crimes, and so in a certain sense, they're not funny. But in another sense, they're actually, you know, fairly funny. You have one guy who's riding his bike around in Escambia County. He's from Molino. And he was riding around the Circle K on Kenmore Road. And the uniformed patrol officer sees him. And he's got a bicycle. And on the front of the bicycle, he's got the yellow Dollar General shopping basket kind of strapped on there. And, well, those are private property, right? That's not something that they sell or give away. So he goes up to the guy. Excuse me, sir. What's with the basket? He says, And can you give me an ID? And I'm embellishing, but this is how I read the story. Multiple times asks for ID. Multiple times says, you know, I have a reasonable suspicion that there's a crime that's been committed here. Ultimately, he refuses to identify, and he subsequently put in handcuffs and placed in the patrol vehicle while they search the vehicle, the bike. And in the search, what did they come up with? The description, northescambia.com had the story, a backpack, personal belongings. Inside the basket, the deputy discovered a green smoking product package containing a green leafy substance. I'm going to go ahead and guess it's not tobacco. A field test kit yielded a positive result for synthetic cannabinoids weighing approximately 6 grams. So this was on US 29 or Pensacola Boulevard across from the Dollar General location. So, you know, that's one. He's in jail for $4,000, all because he decided to aftermarket add on to his bike a Dollar General basket. You know, it reminds me of PJ, all the times when I was in high school, I'm trying to think, was it high school? I can think it would have had to have been in college. But in college, when I may have been in possession of an unlawfully obtained milk crate as part of my bookshelving strategy. Did you ever have any of the unlawfully obtained book crates in your house?
I really didn't.
Oh,
my mom was a lunch lady, though.
So, okay.
She kept me on the straight and narrow.
I gotcha. I always laugh because, you know, at a certain point, so many people were using the, let's just again say, unlawfully obtained milk crate, the plastic milk crate containers, as bookshelves, that stores started selling them as carries, as totes, as whatever.
Oh.
But the ones they sell, if we're honest, are very flimsy compared to the ones that the milk come in, which are super sturdy. So it wasn't really going to persuade me off of my contraband. Anyway, I'm just glad I was never riding around with one strapped to my bicycle at the US 29 parking lot with a bunch of synthetic marijuana inside. It's a second one. Also takes place on US 29 by the Walmart. West 9 Mile Road. Guys driving through the Walmart. Maybe it was 9 Mile, not 29. Anyway, according to this arrest report, this guy begins when a marked Escambia County Sheriff's Patrol unit observes a white pickup with a white guy crossing the center line multiple times and stopping inappropriately at 9 Mile and US 29. Follows the vehicle into the parking lot. Oh, it is the one I was thinking about. Okay. And instead of yielding when they flip their lights on, he starts weaving around and drives around the parking lot in what can only be described as a slow speed pursuit. And repeatedly, the deputy sees him reaching into the back seat and doing stuff. And you never think that's probably a good reason. So many times he's weaving, he's diving, he's dodging, he's driving erratically, reaching to the back of the truck, jerky movements. He finally does a U-turn and gets pulled over in the gas station, the Murphy. After exiting the truck, he continues to rummage around in the passenger area, finally leaves the vehicle. He surrenders to the deputy. The deputy brings a canine, canine search, bark, bark. They find 18 grams of shattered white crystal shards. What do you think that is? Not nicotine. Heavily coating the passenger door, so he was breaking up the meth in the back seat so that they wouldn't know it was meth. You know, making it powder, basically, I guess. Near the entrance to the gas station, they discovered 4 grams of the same substance on the ground. In the bushes, they found a plastic bag containing 12 grams of marijuana. They found more, it tested positive for meth. The total amount was 21 grams. When asked, he's like, I'm clean. I ain't got no habit. I'm good. Well, you will be for a little while. Let's just say it that way, because you're not going to probably be having access to that while you're in jail. So, interesting little minor funny crime stories in Escambia County.
News, I'm CJ Papa. Renewed attacks in the Middle East.
CENTCOM says U.S. and Saudi fighter aircraft struck multiple terrorist logistics and weapons sites across eastern Iraq in a strong response to over 30 IRGC-directed aerial drone attacks in the last 72 hours. The unwarranted attacks against U.S. forces were not successful.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting. Jordan's military says its air defense has shot down 5 missiles launched from Iran earlier today. The Senate Homeland Security Committee will grill former COVID czar Dr. Anthony Fauci at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. There'll be plenty of questions to Fauci about his newly released diary entries. The frantic search for survivors of that earthquake that rattled southwestern Japan. At least 18 dying in the quake, 4 in a shopping mall where 3 are still missing. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 81 degrees. Another hot start to our day here. We will get a look at our forecast from Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 up in just a few minutes. Well, the Florida Highway Patrol is still investigating a fatal go-kart crash in Okaloosa County earlier this month. They're now looking for potential witnesses. A 32-year-old Crestview man died after losing control of his go-kart, colliding head-on with a pickup truck. Troopers are trying to identify a light-colored SUV seen turning onto the road just before that crash. If you have information, contact FHP. The Navy officially retired the C-2 Greyhound yesterday, marking the end of a 6-decade era. The aircraft made its final flight from Norfolk to NAS Pensacola. It was escorted by the Blue Angels and then welcomed with a water salute. Squadron Commander Paul Ingram has flown the C-2 since 2009 in more than 30 countries. He called it bittersweet, but he did say the retirement was done right. That plane's being replaced by the CMV-22 Osprey. It'll go on display at the National Naval Aviation Museum next year. Cordova Mall saw a heavy police presence yesterday after reports of a man with a gun. 22-year-old Theodore Jackson was arrested after fleeing into a closet at a Belk store and then fighting with officers that were trying to detain him. Ultimately, no gun was found on him or anywhere in the mall. Shoppers, including families at a nearby indoor playground, evacuated or barricaded themselves in the stores during the incident. Police say they are still looking into whether Jackson was experiencing a mental health episode at the time. Well, a 14-year-old boy has now been charged with 2 counts of armed robbery after a string of robberies at Tradewinds Food Mart. This is over on Patricia Drive. Deputies arrested Quadaris Salisbury Jr. on Saturday, tied to incidents between July 17th and the 19th. Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 that deputies get all the credit for arresting him. The sheriff's office does say they're still looking for additional suspects, and they're asking anybody with information to contact Crime Stoppers. Well, there's some new leadership at Pensacola Sports. Jason Libert returns to the organization. He previously served the organization for 12 years as the director of events. He left in 2022. He'll succeed Ray Palmer, who led the organization for nearly 25 years. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have mostly sunny skies through most of the day with just a 30% chance of a pop-up shower and thunderstorm in the afternoon. Otherwise, going to be a hot one. Temperatures near 96 degrees for your high, feeling more like the triple digits. Heat advisory and an extreme heat warning along the coastline. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 81. For Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 93. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
81 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
With your money now. SK Hynix shares nosedived more than 9% as exponential second quarter earnings and revenue growth still failed to satisfy analysts' supercharged expectations for the artificial intelligence company. Revenue jumped 257% year-on-year in the quarter that ended in June, while operating profits soared nearly 557% year-over-year. Apple yesterday briefly hit a market capitalization of $5 trillion, a day after passing NVIDIA to become the most valuable publicly traded company. Apple shares are up 25% this year. UBS booked a 17% jump in second quarter profit ahead of expectations and said it plans to buy back shares worth $3 billion by the middle of next year at the latest. Switzerland's biggest bank said it had seen robust, broad-based growth, particularly in wealth management and for its investment bank. Its trading division delivered record second quarter revenue in line with strong Wall Street bank earnings earlier this month. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, I have Escambia County Sheriff, Chief Deputy, and longtime friend of mine. He was in Leadership Pensacola with me. Tommy Leiter. Tommy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, as always, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Of course, of course. Really good to have you. We've had a lot of things happen over the last week since Chip and I talked last week. Let's start with this. You had an incident. We talked briefly about it last week, but the crabs burglary. Burglary is when there's no force involved. Robbery is when you're confronting a person. But the crabs burglary led to five people being arrested in several different states, and Flock cameras were a big part of this arrest, right?
Absolutely, man. It was a great case, and it's, you know, showcases our major crimes division. They do great work, the investigators that pick those cases up and run with it. But yeah, it was Flock. You know, they show up in the middle of the night, and they come in from Houston. They rent cars in Houston, drive all the way over to Escambia County, to Pensacola Beach, and they burglarize crabs in the middle of the night, make their way to the safe, and manage to cut their way into the safe and steal a bunch of money. But you know, this is 2026. You're not going to get on or off Pensacola Beach without being on a camera. I mean, the Flock camera, all the toll by plates, that's what they are. They're license plate readers. They're just going to read your tag, and that's how we're doing that all over the interstates. They're all license plate readers. And, you know, you park your car downtown, and that's how they enforce that when they drive by. You'll see the trucks drive by with license plate readers on it, and that's what they're doing. They'll know if you paid it or you're parking or not. So it's bigger than law enforcement. They're everywhere. And this case, we would not have been able to solve this case, certainly not as quickly as we did, quick enough that we were able to. They still had burglary tools with them. They still had cash with them. All of the evidence that they had was, they still had all that stuff in their possession. So I think without those license plate readers, we would not have been able to solve it as quickly as we did. But it's really cool to see. You can pick them up going onto the beach, off of the beach, and then, you know, all the way across state lines into two different states. And we were able to contact those agencies, and they picked up both of them on traffic stops. Well, actually, one was a traffic stop. One, they were able to track all the way back to a hotel room. So that was really good police work.
Was there any, I know the initial question had been, why crabs? Was there anybody on the inside who was helping them? Why would they come from Houston to, you know, some random beachfront restaurant in Pensacola? Do we know anything about any of that?
Still under investigation.
Okay.
That's a question we had that night, you know, and you can see it. Why did they pick crabs? Why did they pick the way that they went in? It didn't look to me like they searched real hard for the location. You know, they went right to the safe. Mm-hmm. So those are certainly something that we're looking into, and it is still under investigation. So we have some evidence that we can go through, and we're going to try to figure that out.
Very good. You also had I think you had another case that was a big Flock license plate reader related case this week, right? I just can't remember right off the top of my head. I can't remember which one it was.
We did. We had two females from Houston. They drove over from Houston, and it was a retail theft. So they were hitting all of the stores stealing. It looks like most of it was makeup and stuff like that. Not just makeup, but there's a photograph on our Facebook of the bag that they had, which is full of stolen property, and the picture doesn't do it justice. It was huge, and they hit all, you know, a number of different stores, and we were able to, you know, get a description of the vehicle, and were able to, you know, figure it out on Flock, and we stopped them on a traffic stop. And they were just probably heading back to Houston, I would imagine. And same thing, we were able to pick them up on a Flock, stop them, still had all the stolen property on it, and link them directly to the other thefts.
And so that was the one. There was like five different stores, right? Is that right? I'm memory here.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How did we become like the interstate crime sister city for Houston? When did this happen?
it's not just us.
Okay.
They have a whole task force over in Houston. And I think, you know, the last I've heard is there's like 1,000 people that they've identified or something. And that's what they're doing out of Houston. We had a number, I want to say it was last year, where they were stealing ATMs and they were out of Houston. But they left here, and I think we got them up in Georgia. So we're just one of the stops on their route to wherever, all the way over to Jacksonville, all the way up through Atlanta. It's all over the southern United States. I'm not sure how far north they go, but we catch them a lot in Escambia County, and maybe that's why it makes the news, is because we're being able to pick them up.
You guys are trying to identify some suspects who robbed, and again, robbed is with force. Burglary is not with force, at, like when people are not present. The Tradewind Food Mart on Patricia Drive at gunpoint that last weekend?
Correct. They had two actual robberies at gunpoint. They walk in and stick a gun in the clerk's face. We actually made an arrest on one of them, and it's still under investigation. We're waiting to identify the other suspects involved in it, but we do have one in custody and is in jail right now.
Okay. And then we also had a kilogram of methamphetamines in arrest, Kelvin Crenshaw.
Yeah, that is, one of our search warrants that we hit. That's a lot. And it wasn't just the meth that they got. Let me pull it up here real quick. I'm sorry. I had it on my phone, the exact numbers. But it was meth. It was fentanyl. It was just about anything that you can think of. And as far as narcotics go, it was a big lick for the narcotics unit. SWAT team hit the house because there's an indication that, it's violence surrounding it. So they'll do a risk assessment on all of the search warrants. Some of them will rise to the level of a SWAT team. Some of them don't. This one rose to the level of SWAT team. So our SWAT guys were able to hit it. Here it is. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. And money too, right? And were there guns found?
There was meth, cocaine, oxy. There's fentanyl. There's tramadol. There was marijuana. And there was currency in it. I don't think that we got a gun out of this one.
Okay.
But most of the cases that we have, the narcotics cases, are we do recover firearms. And I think they mentioned our narcotics unit was recognized as the narcotics unit of the year for Region 1, which is 17 different counties. And when I look at the numbers, it's not just, again, it's 13,000 grams of fentanyl, 26,000 grams of meth and cocaine and crack and marijuana and heroin and mushrooms. There's 69 search warrants, but of those, there's 80 firearms and 25 machine gun conversion devices. And that's Sheriff.
That's like the Glock switches. That's to convert a semi-automatic to an automatic. Okay.
Yeah. But we talk about all the time that most of our violence is tied directly to the drug trade. You're not actively involved in buying or selling narcotics, you're unlikely to be a victim of a violent crime.
Wow. No,
Sheriff Simmons recognized that early on, and he tripled the size of our narcotics unit. It was like the largest narcotics unit we've had at the agency that we could see on record. And it was because we wanted to make a dent into the violent crime. And if we're going to do that, we're going to hit the narcotics, street-level narcotics, and the long-term investigations. And it's working. It takes time. A lot of these investigations, and these, when I read a lot of the numbers and the different narcotics, those are the cases that we were able to get search warrants on. There's so many more that we're working on. We're directly tied, and we're dialed in with the DEA task force. So a lot of stuff we can't talk about. Some of these long-term investigations could take years, and they're doing just phenomenal work. And it's most of that, I'd say 90% of it, we can't talk about.
Yeah.
It's just the stuff, the successes, and even a lot of times we'll hit a search warrant, we'll get stuff, but we can't even put that out because it may be a continuing investigation. So
this one leads to that one,
know
or whatever.
That they are,
that's great work being Narcotics Unit of the Year for the region. I'll look forward to it on episode on season 26 of The Wire, Escambia County.
Show, by the way.
Yeah, it is a great show.
If only we could
do it. You guys also had, it's kind of made a lot of news, the R-Spot arrest. What happened here? You guys tried to go in and he prevented you from seeing if there was violations of liquor laws and underage drinking?
Well, correct. We've been there. That wasn't the first time.
Okay.
We've been there before. I don't want to say he was cited for. He certainly warned about it. We went there. The music for noise complaints and music was just outrageous, obnoxiously loud. And when the deputies went up there, he actually locked the door and wouldn't let them in. So there's a little bit of a standoff. We were able to get in. He resisted, and he ended up in handcuffs and going to jail. So it's been an ongoing problem with that particular club. So we've had conversations with the actual owner of the building who leases it to this gentleman to see if they can make changes. And it looks like we're trending in that direction.
And it's a bottle club, right? So do they have to have a special license to operate that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's in violation of all kinds of stuff. You can't sell alcohol. You can't let people bring alcohol. You can't – everything that he's trying to do, you can't do legally. And he was warned about it, completely ignored it, was cited before, and here we are. He ended up in handcuffs going to jail. I don't know how he – what he thought was going to happen, you know, especially once we warned him before and we showed up. This was not the first time, but he found out.
Well, he could, maybe he thought, like, if he just says, you know, I dare you, and then you'd be like, oh, okay, well, we'll back down.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, turn my computer on for just a second, PJ. I do want to get an opportunity for Sheriff Simmons to weigh in on this.
Don't fight us, bro.
Don't fight us.
Exactly.
That's,
yeah. He messed around and found out.
And so that's it. That's exactly right. I think you had a convenience store arrest related, but as a juvenile that just happened, what, maybe overnight?
Yeah, so that was the robberies we talked about, the convenience stores.
Okay, the series of them, okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's in jail. Yep, we made an arrest on a juvenile. A little reluctant to talk a lot about it. It's not quite out yet, but we did make an arrest. One of them, 14-year-old kid. Pulling an armed robbery. Yeah, it's a shame.
A 14-year-old is involved in an armed robbery.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And he's in custody. So, and we're still looking for the other, colleagues, partners in crime, his other, you know, miscreants, whatever you want to call them. But we're still actively investigating that case.
Wow. 14, an eighth grader. That's just, all right.
Yeah.
On one thing, I just think there was one other thing, which is you had an arrest, the fourth arrest now for that homicide charge from the April 12th shooting at Oakwood Terrace. A good reminder that you never stop pursuing homicides, right? I mean, even years later, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we have. I think we're going to start focusing or highlighting some of our cold cases that are back, you know, 20, 30 years old. They never go away. We have investigators, and that's all they do. They're full-time job is just cold case homicides. Keep in mind, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, even into the 90s when I first started policing, a lot of the technology we have, the DNA technology, none of that existed. So when we go back through the case, there might be a piece of evidence that at the time we collected, but there was nothing we could do with it. Now we can submit them. We went through all of the cases already. When Sheriff Simmons first got elected, that was one of his first orders to the cold case unit, was to go through all of the cases, identify evidence or any piece of whatever that's in there, and resubmit it if we need to. And we did all of that stuff, and some of that stuff's paying dividends now. But even today with the ancestry DNA, where I don't have to match it necessarily to the suspect, I can submit it and match it to a fourth cousin twice removed, and you start working that path and then lead back to there. None of that was available. So that's a lot of the cold case, re-interviewing suspects, re-interviewing witnesses, a fresh set of eyes on it. And we're phenomenal work. And it takes a special skill set to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's oftentimes you'll work a case for a decade or more, what it's already been worked for decades with no resolution to it.
Yeah, no satisfaction, right? No payoff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
And you know, to your evidence point, I mean, I was just over at the medical examiner's office, her new building, and, you know, seeing what they do to preserve evidence. But also, you know, some evidence, you know, there's information there, but you don't have the tools to gather what you need for conclusions out of it. And I got to imagine that with the advance of technology, there's going to be some evidence that you don't even know there is information there, because the kinds of things we might be able to look at, you know, people in the 1800s didn't know to collect fingerprints, right? Because they didn't know that that would even matter. So I think that that's, you know, that's technology is changing in all those ways to help you guys with law enforcement. Tommy Leiter, he's the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy, longtime friend of mine, former Chief of Police in Pensacola. Tommy, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for pinch hitting for Sheriff Simmons to say. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, on that last point, the idea is we may not even know that something is evidence, and so we don't even harvest it. But because of the rapid change of technology, we might discover in 20 years, 10 years, 5 years that, you know, that random piece of drywall contains some kind of record of the wave reverberations of things that are happening in the room over time. You know, like, it's crazy stuff like that that you just never know what could happen. And so even just keeping, you know, the right kind of evidence might become different over the course of time. And so I just think it's fascinating the way some of that stuff works to go back and query the existing evidence for better technology or better access to the information that it might contain, for example, on DNA or something, or blood or whatever. 437-1620, if you're thinking about some kind of a home improvement project, or you just need regular old supplies, hardware supplies, or guidance. You know, honestly, if you need advice, go to Pensacola Hardware. They live that lifestyle. They love helping people get jobs done and do them right at less expensively, safely, effectively, long-term. Also, if you build things for a living, they're really your people. They've been helping people build and rebuild homes for 175 years here in Pensacola, which is crazy. Every time I say it, it's crazy to me. 1851, the oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the country. But go and talk to them. You won't need a translator. They speak your language. They know the codes. They probably know the inspectors, and like, they can help you figure this stuff out. If you need to order a specified product, you know, or a special order for your architect, your engineer requires something for the job, hey, they do that with folks all the time. The point is, they're your people. But if you're like me and you're not the builders, but you just need to do something, same thing. They're to help. They're to give you good quality materials, good prices, and make sure that you know what you're getting into, and give you advice if you need it. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30. Join your friends and neighbors at Bands on the Bayou at Bayview Park in East Hill. Bring a chair or blanket and enjoy live music from the Bay Kings Band. Saturday night, it's Pensacola Unplugged, songwriter showcase at Studer Community Institute. It's an evening of acoustic performances from highly talented local songwriters. See Pensacola Unplugged on Instagram for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with vitamins. Its naturally sweet taste reminds me of wild hickory nuts. I call grape nuts my back-to-nature cereal.
Wait, what's that, BJ?
I hated grape nuts.
Hated grape nuts? Well, did you have enough sugar on them?
No.
Oh, well, yeah. I was reading something today. Some meme on Facebook, and it was basically man excited to eat Triscuit after discovering that they were temporarily out of potato sacks to eat. You know, like, it's just, which it does. I mean, a Triscuit is, it's like eating hay, except it has good salt on it. That makes it edible. Mm-hmm. Same thing for, I mean, grape nuts are, God, eating them just like straight out of the box? No. But if you pile a good quarter to third of a cup of sugar on there, you know, suddenly it's just a crunchy sugar additive. It's like you're having a little bit of grape nuts as a sprinkle on your sugar, and then it's fine. David's laughing over there in the newsroom because he knows I'm right. Right, David? Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the support. 558 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? They're releasing 600,000 mosquitoes in Washington, D.C. this summer. Male mosquitoes, in case you were interested. And the males are, I guess these ones are designed to, they get with the females, and they give the females some kind of a, you know, disease, bacteria, something that makes them so that they are infertile and they will not reproduce. And they also do not sting people or, you know, bite them or inject them or probe them, I suppose technically is the right term. the mosquito is one of those things that I would love it if mosquitoes didn't exist at all. I can't ever come up with the reason, like, why did God make mosquitoes? It's bizarre to me. They're nothing but irritation and annoyance. However, I'm always nervous about man-designed intrusions into the environment that seek to eradicate large amounts of anything, even something as obnoxious as a mosquito. And I'll tell you why. It goes back to what I learned about communists. Mao Zedong, as part of the get rid of the four pests thing back in the 50s, they got rid of over a billion sparrows because the sparrows were eating the seed and the fruit of the fields, and so they were trying to feed more people, and they thought if we get rid of the birds, we have more food. Yeah, except that the sparrows also eat the grasshoppers. And if you get rid of a couple of billion sparrows, what you get is a couple of hundred billion grasshoppers who ate all the crops and killed, depending on whom you ask, between 2 and 50 million people in the famines of the late 50s and early 60s. So I don't trust communists because they believe in central planning, and I don't trust people who intrude in the environment because, you know, that's killed a lot of people in the past because of what they thought were good things.
You're listening to